everybody, and welcome back to the Movement Toward Change podcast. Today, we are excited to interview Emily Relier-Spivak, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her. So Emily is a professional dancer and Pilates instructor currently based in the Greater Albany area. Emily was introduced to the Pilates method as a means of rehabilitation after undergoing bilateral knee surgeries. Emily completed her first comprehensive Pilates certification with Polestar Pilates in 2015 and then bridged the gap with Alicia Ungaro's Real Pilates Teacher Training Certification in 2020. She has completed many continuing education courses, including Pilates adaptations for people with scoliosis, Pilates for hip and knee pathologies, pre- and postnatal Pilates workshop, as well as industry-specific forums. Emily is currently in her second season with the Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company, in addition to running her own online Pilates platform, Emily RS Pilates. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you for that wonderful intro. Happy to be here.
So, do you want to start off? Could you just tell us a little bit about your career path so far and how it's kind of evolved?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, I'm a dancer, dancing professionally still, and I've been dancing since I was very, very young. So I would definitely say that my history and background as a mover just has really shaped who I am today and definitely is the root of how I found Pilates and how I came to have my own Pilates business and all that. So I went to college for dance and got my BFA and got really into sort of more like modern and contemporary dance in college. I was very, very heavily trained in ballet growing up, went to a very serious ballet studio and spent a year at the Ailey School as well before going to college, which was very heavily ballet. I was very surprised to go to the Ailey School, which you think Albany is a modern company. Lots and lots of ballet training, even there. So when I graduated college, I moved to New York City. I'm originally from New Jersey, right outside of New York City. So it sort of felt like moving back home because I had New York sort of as like my backyard growing up. But it's a very different experience living in the city. Definitely not the same as, you know, commuting when you're living home in the safe suburbs of New Jersey. And I mostly got into the freelance scene in New York City as a dancer. I worked with a few independent choreographers and was really living that project-based gig life. I did that for about 4 years. And while I was doing all of that, I was teaching Pilates at several different studios, boutique studios. I taught for Equinox, which is a huge, you know, a huge company. And had lots and lots of great experiences, cultivated an awesome clientele, which I'm very, very lucky to just have connected with so many wonderful people and clients in my life. And then, of course, 2020 hits and we had COVID-19, as the world knows. And that was obviously a really, really hard time for lots and lots of people. Specifically the fitness industry, the performing arts industry obviously took huge hits. Everything shut down. No one knew what to do. I was just so fortunate that really I have to thank my clients who got in touch with me like the day after New York City shut down and they just didn't want to miss a beat. They were like, hey, how do we keep doing this? Like, how do we take Pilates at home? How do we do Zoom Pilates? How do we make this work? And so that was really the seed of my online studio. I really consider it to be Emily RS Pilates. And so it has just blossomed into this really, really cool, wonderful platform, business, all of the above that I could never have imagined. I have currently a monthly recurring membership, my signature online membership called The Company that I have about 10 people in, which is so, so awesome. I have several one-on-one clients who I see, you know, on like a weekly standing appointment basis. And I even have a even smaller, more mentorship container specifically for performing artists. That's called the Pro Mentorship. So I really tried to have all these different sort of like tiers and offers for different kinds of people, different, you know, goals that people may have. And I have been living in Albany for about a year and a half. And, you know, like you said in the intro, I'm dancing with a really wonderful modern repertory company up here called Ellen Sinopoli Dance Company. And I just feel very, very lucky to be doing what I love, dancing and Pilates. To have made careers out of both of them really has just been like, has just been incredible. I don't know if that was too much of what you wanted to hear about my background, but that's my life story in a nutshell, I guess.
That's awesome. That's such a cool, I love hearing about people's different career paths and kind of how you came from one thing to another and how it develops.
Yeah, I guess I left out, you touched on it in my intro, but to backtrack a little bit, in college, I experienced lots of injuries and was not taking good care of my body. And this was before I found Pilates. And like Rachel said, I had two knee surgeries, like 1 year apart. And that was really like the sobering experience where I was like, okay, something needs to change. I need to be clearly doing something outside of dancing. That was when I realized like, oh, dancing isn't enough to, you need to do something outside of dancing to keep you strong, to keep you injury free, to keep you safe and cross conditioned. So that was really, yeah, the, I guess like, you know, experience that really was like, you know, woke me up and made me realize that that was eventually how I found Pilates, you know, in like a rehabilitative context from recovering from that. But yeah, that's the story.
I think that basically just answered my next question too about any particular challenges that you've faced. So
I can think of more challenges that I faced. Don't worry. There's more. So yeah, those having those knee surgeries, and even before I actually had surgery, I was just a really injury prone dancer growing up. I just felt like, you know, I was always in PT for something. And, you know, every injury felt like an obstacle, but it's also, there is a, you know, light at the end of the tunnel, because you do, I feel like from every injury that you endure, learn just that much more about your body. And you just, you know, you end up correcting and fixing other parts of your body and other parts of your alignment and whatever it is. I feel like because you get to look at your body more holistically. So in addition to just like physical injuries, those are obviously like physical obstacles. When I was living in the city, I actually like pre-COVID was sort of at a really weird crossroads with dance and performing, and felt, I guess, burnt out is the word. I didn't really burnt out, but also kind of like the fire wasn't there anymore. I felt like I just kind of was tired of the gig life and the freelance scene in New York. And I was craving just, I guess, more stability, more constant with performing. And I just felt kind of, I don't know, I started to just feel a little bit lackluster with being a performing artist living in New York City. It just started to feel really heavy. And so I sort of took the year, I guess it was like 2019. Like I said, I think it was like right before the pandemic, where I really wasn't performing. I was just kind of like taking class here and there and dancing as I felt like I wanted to, but I really wasn't doing anything super, super like professional. And I kind of had this identity crisis of like, am I even a dancer? Am I even a professional if I'm not performing actively? Something that I think not enough of us talk about as performing artists. We've all been in those ruts before where it feels really scary and weird. If you're not like performing, you know, gig after gig, you just feel like, oh, am I even a professional anymore? So that was, you know, a big like emotional hurdle. And I really leaned into, this was before I started my own business, but I was still teaching Pilates a ton. And I guess I did start to feel like I was gravitating more towards teaching Pilates, and really just felt like that was more where my passion was like helping other people, applying what I knew about the body and movement, and like, you know, giving that to my clients. So still using my creative brain, but just more in that realm. So that was a big, scary hurdle. And then of course the pandemic happened and we were all home and no one was performing and nobody was, you know, we were all suddenly in like the same bubble as artists. And, I just sort of, you know, I gave myself that time. I allowed myself that time to like be where I was at and not force myself to do something that I just wasn't feeling. I didn't feel like performing. I didn't feel like auditioning. I didn't feel like doing these things. And it kind of fell into my lap where I moved up here to Albany and found this one, you know, wonderful dance company, and they happened to be hiring. It happened to be a great fit. And so I just, you know, again, I feel very lucky and like everything just fell into place at the right time. But I really feel like I as much as it sucked, I really needed that time that really, it was like ended up being like a 2 year plus period of like, I don't know what I'm really doing with dance and performing and do I even want to do this anymore? So I would say, physically injury after injury, surgeries, all of that. And then, that was a really big mental hurdle that I went through with not really knowing where I stood with dance for that cute, like 2 to 3 year period.
I think it's hard sometimes. There's sort of an expectation that in this like very moment, if you're not in a company, then like, oh, are you a dancer? But I think that's kind of a burden to put on a dancer to think you always have, like you're always a dancer inside, even if you take a break or, you know, have some moments of reflection, and that can in the end help you to make choices that are going to ultimately lead to your own happiness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And things are changing. And I'm so happy to see that we are going in this direction, especially just because so many dancers and performing artists get into fitness. There is that correlation. It is great to see. I feel like a lot of like my peers and my colleagues are really owning the fact that like you can be an artist and a successful business owner or fitness professional. Like there's like this weird guilt around like succeeding in one or the other. Like I still even like catch myself feeling that like, oh, I'm doing too well in my Pilates business. Like, but I'm not paying attention to like dancing enough. Like there's like this weird comparison and you feel like trapped in the middle, but you get to excel in all the different idioms that you choose, you know, to have. You can be a successful, you know, whatever instructor, whatever you teach and dancer and whatever other jobs you have. Instead of like feeling shame and like confusion and guilt and all these like weird feelings, I just got to a place where I was like, we can embrace this and you can like wear all the hats. Like, it's okay. You don't have to choose one.
That's wonderful. Maybe a little more specifically to your own relationship with Pilates, how do you feel that it benefited you as a dancer and sort of how you used it for rehabilitation throughout your various injuries?
I feel like I've sort of like always did Pilates. Like when I look back on being a young dancer, I remember really being introduced to it for the first time formally at some point when I was like maybe 13 or 14, like in a summer intensive, you know, it's like one of those cross training classes like that you have, you know, once or twice a week in your summer intensive. And that's when I remember like being like, oh, this, okay, it's called Pilates. You're on a mat and there's a magic circle and you squeeze it, like, cool. Like I didn't really like put the dots together. I just kind of like did it because I was like, oh, this is what dancers do. This is like what we're supposed to do, I guess. It's good for us. But it really wasn't until I got older, specifically in college, when I was going through this obstacle with my knees, and that I was introduced to the apparatuses, the Pilates apparatuses. And had no idea what they were. I was like, what are these things with springs? They look like torture devices. Like I had all the same thoughts that I feel like everyone has when they first see Pilates equipment. And I worked with a physical therapist who was also a Pilates instructor. And so it was, you know, fusing PT, like using Pilates very rehabilitatively, as you know, you've said. And that was when like my wheel started turning. I was like, okay, cool. Like I'm actually working my entire body on this equipment. I'm not just paying attention to my knee. Like we're not just zeroing in on the hurt part of my body. We're like, I'm strengthening my core and I'm strengthening my upper body, something I never thought would ever be relevant to like helping me with a knee injury recovery. And, you know, started feeling the benefits of working on that spring, on those spring-based resisted equipment. And I, yeah, decided to get certified. And it was really in my first teacher training that, again, like my wheels just kept turning. I was like, oh, like this stuff's like, this is really cool. Like I still kind of like, didn't really, not that I didn't understand why it worked, but like, I just knew that it did work. Like I just knew that my body felt really good. I felt strong. I felt aligned. I felt, you know, all the wonderful benefits that Pilates gives you. I was paying attention to like my breathing for the first time ever. And it also wasn't dance, which I was like, this is cool. Like I get to love another form of movement that isn't dance, and like not in a bad way, but I was like, oh, this is what I need. Like I need a non-dance cross conditioning method that is complementary to dancing. Cause I really didn't have like another passion. Like I'm not a runner. I hadn't really been to the gym much in my life. Like I really was not educated in like what I should be doing to cross condition in like a healthy, sustainable way. So I just really felt like it clicked. And in terms of how it's benefited me as a dancer, I said how it's physically helped me so much. I really feel like what people don't see is like mentally how important it is to find a movement practice that you love and that you can like fully center yourself in. Like when you're in a Pilates class, like I'll speak for myself, when I'm in a Pilates class, like I am thinking about nothing else. It's almost impossible to think about anything else because the Pilates method is so task-based and you're supposed to keep going. And it's, you finish this exercise, you move on to the next exercise and you finish this and you transition into that. And so it is very dance, not that it's dance-like, but it's complementary to dancing because I think it requires the same flow of moving from one thing to the next. Like when you're learning choreography, you have to know what comes after that step and that step. And so I think like mentally, I love how it shuts my brain up for 45 minutes or an hour, you know, however long I'm doing a class for. So I really started to feel like it was just so meditative and made me like a more mentally resilient dancer and performer. And being an older performer, I'm approaching 30, which is not old, I realize, but my body does not feel the same as when I was 21 and dancing. It is just so important. I find that I need to do more conditioning. I need to incorporate like more cross training into my schedule just to really keep my body like primed and really, you know, safe and strong and all of the above. That's Pilates for me and my body as a dancer.
And do you have any advice for a dancer who's kind of thinking about getting into Pilates or adding Pilates to their exercise routine that I might not know where to start?
Yeah, absolutely. Not to plug this, but that's really something that I pride my business, my online Pilates business in, is that I really do try to cater to every and all abilities, levels, whether you're a beginner or whether you are a super duper advanced and experienced Pilates doer. I have totally original on-demand library with like, I don't know, 50 plus. I constantly add new workouts to the library of different levels of workouts. And I have like the most basic, the most beginner level workouts all the way to, you know, like I said, the most like advanced level workouts. And so there's something for everyone. I would definitely recommend, you know, I think a lot of people assume that all that because you're a dancer, you therefore are like an advanced Pilates doer. And I love this question, Nicole, because like you can be a lot of dancers like don't have Pilates experience or don't have formal Pilates experience, right? They've taken that class once upon a time at that dance intensive and like that was it. That's their only experience. So I think it is important that like dancers seek out, you know, like real, like a real Pilates practice and real Pilates training. Because there is a lot out there and it can be hard to like kind of pick and choose like what's the right fit. And so I think the same thing like dance, it all comes down to technique first, and you should just learn the technique, learn the bread and butter of the system. And that, you know, even like the basic beginner Pilates exercises are really challenging. And I even, having been doing Pilates for like, I don't know, over 10, probably closer to 15 years at this point, I always come back to the basics. I always go back to like the beginner level. Same thing in dance, I feel like, right? Like you haven't taken class in a while, you come back to like the beginner level ballet class, you know, like whatever it is. And so I would definitely advise to dancers in particular who are seeking out a Pilates practice, you should join my membership. No, but really, I think that the best way to get into it is to commit to something like a membership, a program where you're going to be guaranteed having like consistency. I mean, to start with anything, you just want to be consistent. That doesn't mean 5 days a week. That means once or twice a week. And so I would recommend, you know, getting into classes. You know, mat classes just tend to be most affordable and most accessible. Of course, there is the equipment and you could do privates, you could do group classes. You know, if you have a studio local around you, the equipment is absolutely incredible. And I highly recommend, you know, getting into that if you have that available. But I just think the beauty of Pilates with the mat work is you can do it from anywhere, anytime. And so, yeah, that's what I would advise.
Definitely, that totally makes sense.
Going back a little bit to having these two kind of pieces to your work life of dancing professionally and having your own business, how do you sort of manage these various responsibilities and maybe even describing sort of what a daily routine might look like? And I think as we were making these questions, you're just thinking most dancers are probably doing more than one thing. So it's always helpful to just hear how other people, especially if a dancer might be listening to this soon after or just about to graduate, that can be really helpful to hear from someone with some experience in this sort of lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So a typical day, I guess I'll try to think of like what day of the week is like a good day. I'll pick a typical Tuesday for me. My dance company on Tuesday, we rehearse in the evenings. So 4:30 to 9 PM is when we rehearse. And so my Tuesday mornings or the first half of the day is, what looks like teaching maybe three private one-on-one virtual sessions with, my one-on-one clients. And then that is currently when I have, one of my two live group classes a week for the company membership. And so, you know, so it looks like about 4 hours of teaching, and at some point I'll do my own workout. I of course do Pilates, but I also have just fallen in love with strength training and lifting heavy weights. Again, it just is something that is not work. It's not Pilates. It's not dancing, and it is important to keep yourself sane. As much as I love Pilates, I also, you know, need to keep it fresh, and I need to remove myself from Pilates world, just to kind of like cleanse my brain and not think about it, you know, 24/7. And so that's what, you know, like a day is per first half of the day, couple hours of teaching, get my own workout in, plenty of admin work to do as a business owner. Can't forget to note that glamorous part of the job. And, yeah. And then, you know, rehearsing for like about 4.5 hours in the evening. Yeah. I mean, I feel again, like so lucky that I have just these two, jobs and, teaching and having my own Pilates business and dancing professionally. But I realized that that's not the norm, especially if you're graduating college, you're probably not, starting your own Pilates business right away. It took me, 5 years, if not more than that, after graduating to get to that point. So, what a day in the life would have looked like before I started my own business was similar but different. I would wake up and go take an open dance class. I'm just thinking about when I was living in New York City. I'd wake up, I would go take a class. I would usually go right to, Equinox or another studio where I was teaching and teach for 3 to 4 hours, back to back, and then go home midday, and then go back out and either go to rehearsal or, if I was teaching elsewhere at a different studio, it looked something like that. So it was definitely more of like a hustle lifestyle. And that was also obviously before things were online predominantly. But I do also, like, just to note, I do teach in person a handful of hours every week, just to, again, keep the balance and see physical humans. I love teaching online and I love how many people I can reach, but so that I can keep my apparatus, teaching practice exercised, because if you don't teach, on the equipment, you will very easily lose that skill set. So I have a handful of wonderful in-person clients that I just see one-on-one at a really wonderful studio, and that's all on the equipment and apparatus. So, some days I teach in person, I come back home, I teach online. So it's a little bit of that hybrid, that juggle. But did I answer the question?
Yes, that is, okay. That is very helpful.
Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, how did you reach the viewpoint of using Pilates more for its somatic benefits rather than to enhance one's physical appearance?
Great question. I really became obsessed with the art of teaching and words, and realizing that teaching is a whole nother art form. I really never taught and still really haven't ever taught dance, which I feel like is not, which is uncommon for a dancer. I feel like all of my friends growing up, like, who were pursuing dance professionally, were also teaching dance and had that experience with teaching, but I never did. So teaching Pilates was really my first teaching experience. And I remember going through my first teacher training with Polestar, and they very, very heavily emphasize, they're a bit more of a progressive and sort of, I guess, like modern day adaptation approach to Pilates, because they are so rehabilitative focused. There was a lot of emphasis in our training on words matter, and, we want to say this instead of that, and this word better, cues the brain. It has a more positive effect on the brain, as opposed to this word that has a negative effect. So I started to get really into, the neuroscience of a somatic practice of connecting words to movement. And that very much aligned. I knew that from dancing, because I, was exposed to that in college with professors who were very heavily taught their classes with a somatic practice. But applying that to teaching Pilates, I think just really clicked for me. And I took it and ran with it. And I, became obsessed with seeing how words could produce such awesome results in movement, could be translated into movement. And so with my most recent Pilates teacher training, I bridged with Alicia Ungaro, who is it's a very, very classical Pilates program. So it really connected back to what Joseph Pilates had originally, built and codified. And it sort of gave me the missing pieces that I didn't get all from my Polestar training. I was really worried that doing the classical teacher training program was going to sort of compromise all of the beautiful linguistic teaching quality that I had developed from, you know, the 5 years of teaching sort of like via the Polestar way, but it was quite the opposite. It only gave me more like juice and meat to work with teaching. And it only made my practice, I would say, like more robust. And so I just wanted to be part, in addition to that, I also just feel so passionately about being part of this like progressive fitness movement of like moving away from exercising to like shrink our bodies and because we hate ourselves, and we exercise to empower our bodies to get stronger because we love and want to honor our bodies. Like I am so in that movement, if that wasn't already clear. And so I would say the combination of both of those things has really led me to like teach the way that I do. And yeah, like I just think that like words are so powerful, and the way that I teach my classes online and in person, I'm sitting here just as I am right now, just sitting and talking. This is how I teach my classes. And it's just such a powerful, not that I'm saying that demonstrating is bad, I'm not saying that at all, but I just think that it's so powerful to like be able to cue movement through solely words is so powerful and empowering for the client or for, you know, the student doing the class. It's just a very, very powerful skill to be able to translate movement from like just words and not just like seeing and copying other movement. So, yeah.
And I'm guessing for the student, the movement becomes like a bit more true to their own bodies as opposed to exactly. Like, oh, I want to look like how Emily's doing it, as opposed to like, I want to actually like engage the proper experience muscles on my body.
Exactly right. It's their experience. It's not look like me and do what you see. It's lift your arm. You could lift your arm this way, that you're right. Like there's like room for, and of course there's form and there's technique, and like, I'm not going to let someone like do the exercise wrong. Like that's why, you know, that's what like correction, you know, not that I don't ever like correct, but yeah, it gives you your own experience, like roll up. Okay. Maybe doing the roll up, you know, doesn't work for them the traditional way. So like make it work for your body, like figure out the best way, like the way that feels best for you. So there's giving people agency is, I guess, how you would just say it in short, is what I really feel like, you know, that's the power of like a somatic teaching experience.
Totally. I love that mentality that you have. And I think it's important that we keep having fitness in general, but I think also especially cross training for dancers, be really about moving intentionally as a something to help clear our mind or to strengthen our bodies, hopefully both, but at least one of those, and not to just automatically, oh, I'm going to look a certain way. I'm going to, you know, have this shredded six pack or these often unattainable things that aren't going to actually move the dancer any closer to their goals. But, you know, yeah, obviously with programs like yours, you're really goal oriented about helping dancers to achieve their own paths.
Absolutely. And also like functional fitness and like functional movement. And I think, you know, Pilates has become, it's this historic movement method, but I feel like often what we see is like, you know, like the cute and trendy and Instagrammable like Pilates workouts, and like, you know, like you're just like pulsing your leg up and down, like it's so cute and it looks so nice. And, you know, I'm not trying to like throw shade at any style of teaching, but I think that like that's the image of Pilates that we have in our head. It's not the like grunting, sweaty, like trying to hoist your body up into this really complicated exercise, like, which is, you know, that is like true Pilates and really what I tried to teach and like preserve the work of like the classical Pilates system. But I just think that, yeah, like we see, you know, the instructor with the six pack of abs teaching Pilates, And I just think that sometimes people get it skewed with that's not like functional, but Pilates, like really the like true Pilates system and the exercises like are incredibly functional. There's a lot of emphasis on like getting up off the ground, sitting down onto the ground. Can you get up without using your arms? Like, and as a dancer, you know, especially I'm a modern dancer, like you need to be able to get up from, you know, to get up and down from the floor very quickly. And I think that, yeah, I think that's missed is the functional part of Pilates. And it's not just to look good. It's not just to look cute. It's like, it's real, it's work. And you can really feel the rigor and the intensity of it when you're taught it correctly, when you do it correctly. And so that's also just, I think, really important for dancers to know and to just like have in the back of their head that like, you're doing this exercise that might feel weird for a reason. Like there is a method to the madness. And yeah, so just to like add to that, like exactly right. It's functional. It's goal oriented. It's not just like to look good. Not that there's anything wrong with looking good, but like if you feel good and if you're committed and if you're motivated to practice the thing, it can't not physically show, you know, it's going to resonate physically, but I really do believe that's just a secondary result from, you know, feeling good and all the other stuff that comes before that.
Cool. Well, this was really wonderful. Thank you so very much for sharing this insight and telling us more about your memberships. And if you have further questions for Emily, you can visit her website, pilates-ease.com, and we will put her website and her Instagram and ways to connect with her in the show notes if you want to join her programs or just have further Pilates dance-related questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. This was so much fun. Thank you again for having me.